Welcome in, everybody, to the CC Podcast. It is the evening of Friday, March 8th. Mike Rutherford here in Louisville, Kentucky. Dan Snard up in Columbus, Ohio. Happy to be back here after, a couple of weeks off or a week and a half off. I don't know. My whole life has been consumed by Disney and sick family, and we haven't had one healthy weekend in like a fucking month and a half, and now Kenny Payne rumors and coaching search rumors. I don't even know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. My head is spinning. But we've got to do a podcast here to capitalize on all the interest this week, all the batshit crazy things that have gone on over the past, five, 6 days? We've had some wild weeks as Louisville basketball fans over the past few years. This has been up there, and it feels like the wheels have finally started turning towards whatever's next. And so we have to come here and talk about it. Dan, how are we in Columbus? How have you been since the last time we spoke?
We're good. I miss like regular March so much. Like, how much different is this than when, you know, like 10, 12 years ago? I'll never forget like picking you up like before we went to the Final Four. I like pulled in your driveway, like saw you coming out. I was like, let's fucking go right now. Let's fucking go. Like, I mean, everything about March was just electric. The air felt different. And, you know, now it's just, it feels like every single March is rumors, coaching rumors, how bad's our roster, you know. So hopefully this is the last time we have to deal with this. But
I'll take it a step further. Do you remember? We've talked about this. I sent you the picture. Do you remember what it was exactly 10 years ago today? What we were doing?
God, was this like? I mean, it had to be like that. You sent me the picture. Was that Molly Malone's? I don't even know. I don't know what we were doing.
So 10 years ago today, Louisville said farewell to Russ Smith and Luke Hancock and Stephen Van Trees and Tim Henderson. And we thought we were going to say goodbye to Montrezl Harrell. He came back for another year. And we hosted UConn on senior day.
Right. Okay.
And we beat the absolute fuck out of them. 81-48. Russ didn't shoot. He took one field goal attempt. He was trying to send a message, had 13 assists, I think tied the program record, in-game record, single-game record, whatever it was. And we beat the eventual national champions by 33 points. The team, it's still the largest margin of defeat ever for a team that's won a national title, 33 points. Nobody had ever lost by more than 29 before and gone on to win it all. And then I got hit up by one of like the Patinos, and they're like, come to Molly Malone's, we're all going to celebrate. And then I texted you, and I was there with my wife and my then girlfriend and my future sister-in-law, and we hit up you and your brother, and we're like, come party with it. And like, we drank with like the team and the coaches and the players, and like at Molly Malone's the entire night, basically made asses out of ourselves. I posed the question about Brad Giannini or Chris Current to you in front of Brad Giannini and Chris Current, and made you feel incredibly awkward. But it was like, those were the best times, man.
Oh.
Like, we're having the absolute times of our lives. And you fast forward 10 years and it's like, the fan base is going to revolt if we hire Mick Cronin. Who's it going to be?
No.
Like, it's all different. It sucks.
I feel so bad for whoever listens to this. It's ages like 18 through like 25. Like, those are just like absolute prime years, and my God, did we have a run! And it just feels like so long ago. But yeah, I mean, that, you know, we're not going to go down like Patino path here, but geez, I mean, like, they were pretty accessible during those couple of years. I mean, my God, I was like, am I on the team?
I've got a picture with Rick where we're discussing the AAC tournament seeding. And he's like, it actually worked out fucking well that we're not the ones that Cincinnati got it. Now we avoid this side of the bracket's much better. I was like, am I telling him about the bracket right now? What's happening? And there's a picture of you with my wife and my sister-in-law that I sent to you today where you're wearing a Levitation t-shirt. You look like the drunkest person in the entire world. My wife is trying to smile normally. Her eyes are just like, one's all the way open, one's all the way closed. It was the best time in the entire world. I miss it so much. I can't wait to get back to it. My God.
Well, it's like we got quite the hole to dig out of here.
It's like, how do we transition from that to what we're actually going to talk about?
Senior day tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, what if we spent the entire, people are just salivating, chomping at the bit, asking for any sort of coaching search, you know, nugget, any sort of coaching search news. What if we were like, we're going to spend 45 minutes talking about our favorite moments with the senior class. Like, what's your favorite Aiden McCool moment? Let's talk about it. Now, in a normal year, I'd love to do that. I'd love to be talking. What a difference 10 years makes, though. Like, senior day, we used to always play on CBS. That last weekend before the conference tournament started, it was always CBS. We played Notre Dame, played UConn, Cincinnati, somebody really good on CBS. We're playing on the CW at 5:30 against a bad Boston College team in a game that nobody cares about. It's so depressing, which is why we're not going to talk at all about Louisville versus Boston College. We have to talk about the events of the week. This felt like the first week where things have really started moving a little bit. Like here we go. Like, it's, we've been waiting for this for 3 months. I wrote the thing in December and saying, like, the thing about rock bottom is you just kind of have to sit there for a while. And sitting and waiting has been the hardest part. Like, we knew these 3 months were going to suck. They're almost over. These are the last days. The doors. This is the end. Let's go. Let's get this over with and let's find out what's next. But the week got going as far as, I guess, off the court news stuff. On Tuesday night, you had a couple of media members coming out and saying, like, hey, I'm hearing some stuff. I've got some substantive information to pass along. I'm going to do that tomorrow. We had Drew Diener going on his radio show after he went to the game on Tuesday. I think he did some talking with people there and then went on his radio show Wednesday morning, shared some stuff. Jeff Goodman posted some stuff behind a paywall in the Field of 68. And Eric Crawford has weighed in with some tidbits. I've heard a couple of things that I can pass along. If you listen to the radio show all week, some of this will be repetitive. Some of this will be repeating myself. But if you don't, we'll get into it a little bit. But I guess we start with what Diener said on his show Wednesday morning. I feel like that feels like a logical jumping off point. And it was, I guess, three primary tidbits, maybe four if you want to cut the first one into two parts. But the first thing he said I didn't think was overly shocking, which is, you know, Scott Drew's the top candidate. That's who Josh Hurd is focusing his attention on. And that in and of itself is not overly surprising. We've kind of heard that for a while. I heard it 2 years ago that there was a little bit of kick the tires on Scott Drew. And yeah, if you can get Scott Drew, he's a more established candidate. He checks more boxes than virtually any of the other people we've talked about. So that makes perfect sense. The second part of that, though, was that UofL is waiting on Scott Drew to give them an answer soon. They want to move quickly. They want to find out as quickly as possible, yes or no. And I don't know if that's, like, plausible.
Yeah, it confused me a little bit.
He's got a team that's, you know, they're not a top-tier national title contender, but they're certainly in contention for, like, a top-four seed in the NCAA tournament. They're right in the thick of the Big 12 tournament. They'll be one of the teams that can definitely win that thing. So he's got a lot on his mind, and this is what you spend 11 months working towards. I can't imagine that he would give UofL the behind-closed-doors thumbs up and then try to go out there and win a second national title at Baylor. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's the way it's going to work here, because if you're UofL, you also can't afford to be sitting on your hands for 3 or 4 weeks if Baylor plays deep into the NCAA tournament. And then if you get a no from Scott Drew, you've pissed away the chance to get some other guys. But so that was the first part of what Diener said. I say Diener because I keep saying Drew and it gets confusing. The second thing he said was that there's a mystery number two candidate that Josh and company feel good about. If they don't land Scott Drew, they've got this guy sort of waiting in the wings. He's got high signability. He'll probably say yes. And so this is, first of all, you had a great tweet with the Austin Powers, who does number two work for, a gift. That was well done.
Felt good.
I enjoyed it. It was very solid. So this led to a host of people kind of wondering who that candidate is. And then the third thing that Diener said, and he like threw it out there casually. He's like, people are telling me, you know, don't count out Billy Donovan. Like he may be a long shot, so don't think about it too much. And I was like, it's all I can think about now. Are you kidding me? I'm dreaming about Billy Donovan now. So those were the three things in his little report. I'll ask you before I kind of get into the spiel. What was your initial reaction to all of this when it came out?
I mean, I think the Billy Donovan thing caught me off guard a little bit. I still don't know how believable that is. I'm not really putting much stock in it. I figured that Scott Drew would be the first call. Again, I'm a little confused about the I don't want to say pushiness, but I mean, my God, the guy's trying to get his team to a Final Four. I get it. A lot of this stuff happens behind closed doors. Maybe they're just looking up like, hey, like, is this a serious interest? Thumbs up or thumbs down from an agent? If I'm Scott Drew, like, I'm playing my cards as close to the vest as possible right now. Like you said, he's probably focused on his team. So I get that part. As far as the way you say a coach that's signable, I mean, I think there's two names that come to mind. I think for most guys, I would think it would be Musselman and Cronin. I've seen Eric Crawford say maybe no on Musselman. I do put a lot of stock in what Crawford says, so
Sure.
that raised my eyebrows a little bit. But yeah, I mean, and then I mean, just because Mick Cronin was mentioned, I mean, our fan base went into a frenzy. I'm like, this might not be great for. I mean, like, my stance on it. Like, I'm a big Mick guy, but like, even myself, I'm like, this is going to be a hard one to sell here, Josh.
I mean, we've won 12 games in 2 years. Mick Cronin, he's about to miss the NCAA tournament for the first time in 12 seasons. He went his last, I think, 10 years, 9 years at Cincinnati. He's been to three straight second weekends, went to the Final Four. He's having a bad year now. And I mean, we've got fans who are like, I will fucking kill myself if we get Mick Cronin. We have people like the text line every single day. They're like, I'll take anybody above Mick Cronin. I'm like, what? Okay, I think this is a little bit extreme. I had a sort of in-depth conversation today about what I think that stems from. I think it's a number of things, but we can get into that a little bit later because I do think a more extended conversation about Mick is probably warranted. But I'm like you when it was laid out the way that it was. And look, I'm sure I know Diener's talked to some people. I know he's got good connections. I'm sure this is coming from somewhere. I don't know like how exactly believable this is, how 100% accurate this is as far as the whole like number one candidate Scott Drew, number two mystery guy that's going to take the job if Scott Drew doesn't. Like maybe that's not exactly the way that it is, but I'm sure I trust Diener, talking to people and getting good information from some people who are at least somewhat close to what's going on. So I think there's got to be something there.
Well, let
And
me
my
ask you this real
go ahead.
quick. I just want to ask you the timing of this. Like,
Yeah.
is this something Josh would put? I mean, I don't know. It feels like Josh wants to keep this whole thing under wraps, and then it's just weird. Like a week or two before, shit's about to start going down. It's like, hey, here's bits and pieces to chew on. Because I don't know. It just the whole timing to me felt a little weird.
Now, Diener, I think made it a point to say that like this isn't coming directly from Josh. He's not pushing this on me, and that's kind of my understanding as well. Is that this is like people around the program getting a little chirpy and saying I think it's kind of overblown to put it bluntly. Like I think this whole thing is a little bit overblown. The way that it's been presented, and because we're all so desperate for information right now, we're sort of acting like this is the same thing that Jurich did in 2001 when he came out and said, like, matter of factly, I'm going after Rick Pitino. Like that's who I want. That's my target. And I'm not thinking about anybody else right now. Like
Right.
Tom Jurich came out and said that it was Pitino or bust from that moment forward. And I don't think this is as pronounced. Like I don't think that that's, I think it's kind of a more simple thing where it's, Josh heard a couple of years ago from Drew's agent that, hey, maybe there's interest there. Maybe he's up for a second challenge. And now 2 years later, it's just a logical thinking to say, if he wants a second act, now's the perfect time. They've been good the last couple of years, but they haven't been quite as good as they were during that 3 year run from like 2019 through 2022. They've lost a little bit of their identity, their culture. When Jerome Tang left, the defense has gotten bad. Like they're not a very good defensive team this year, and that was their bread and butter when they were earning one seeds and winning national titles. So maybe this is a good time for him to leave, and maybe that's what Josh is thinking. Maybe he's thinking, I'll at least have the conversation. I don't think that he's in his mind like, I'm only focused on Scott Drew. If we don't get Scott Drew, then I'll think about something else. Like I don't think it's like that. So I don't think this is something where Josh is intentionally leaking this out there. And if he was, like, the timing would be scary, right?
Yeah.
You would want this to be quiet. at this point in time, if you were really going to get Scott Drew, I think the fact that we're hearing something would be a little bit alarming if it were, if I thought it were being done on purpose. And I don't think this is like the Bruce Pearl thing 2 years ago, which was a shameless money grab by him. I wrote about it right away. I was like, this is Bruce Pearl's like media contact that he's putting this out there. Like, hey, Louisville wants me. He's just clearly going for a shameless money grab. We're not considering Bruce Pearl. Don't worry about it. Like, I don't think this is coming from the Scott Drew camp. I think it's simply like Drew Diener talking to people and hearing what we've all kind of heard for the past several months, which is like Scott Drew's, he's the best candidate that seems somewhat realistic. So we're definitely going to talk to him. Having said that, like I've reached out to a few people this week, not at U of L, but just like college basketball folks. And we can question like how much they know and who are they talking to, but to a man, they've all said they don't think he's going to go. And like one of them, this is through like a, this is sort of like a, I guess a third party. I heard this third hand, like somebody who works for big time college basketball, big time college basketball name, had texted somebody who I know who relayed the information to me that he said, you all have a better chance of getting Drew Valentine than Scott Drew. So that wasn't overly encouraging. I don't know how true any of that is, but it all leads me to believe what I've kind of thought all along, which is it's more likely that we don't get Scott Drew than it is that we get Scott Drew. And that's kind of where I'm leaving. I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's like this like totally unrealistic deal. I think that there's a very real scenario where we're able to land Scott Drew, but I think it's more likely that we don't. And so it kind of goes down to the number two. And like you, like this is based on, cause I had never heard the number two thing. This has never been something that's been laid out to me as a rumor. Nobody's ever leaked it to me. This is the first I've ever heard of this, but I was thinking the way that Drew laid it out, Mick Cronin was the guy that was the most obvious number two, right? Like if you're saying we got a number one, it's Scott Drew. And then we've got a number two, he's good to go. Mick Cronin, we've known, like I've heard for 5 years, is desperate to get the Louisville job, would crawl to Louisville to take the job. He, you know, is more of a Midwest guy at heart. He's not that happy in Los Angeles. He wants to be closer to his family. He, you know, all that good stuff. Really liked Louisville when he was here. I my understanding is that's still the case. I think he would take the job. I think the issue is, I don't know what the deal with this buyout is entirely. It's $16 million. There's been talk for a long time, like since before we even knew that there was going to be a coaching change, that there's a loophole in the contract that he can get out of paying the full buyout or maybe at least part of the buyout because UCLA is leaving the Pac-12 to go to the Big Ten. I don't know how accurate that is. I've heard it's realistic from people that I trust, but if that is an issue, like if you're not paying $16 million for Mick Cronin, right? Like if the buyout is complete and you can't get out of any part of it, I think we can all agree 16 mil is too much.
Yeah.
But if it's not, then I get why he would be like the floor being Mick Cronin is not a bad place to be in. I don't think the number two candidate is Mick Cronin. Can I tell you who I think the number two candidate is?
Lay it on me.
I think it's Josh Schertz from Indiana State.
God. All right, I think I just heard a collective groan through the phone from our fan base.
That's who. And I say this, like, I think the number two candidate is actually like a scenario. Stay with me here. Here's what, like, if you, people are like, oh, like, what do you think's going to happen? Like, don't worry about the fact, like, just what do you think's going to happen? I'm going to tell you exactly what I think is going to happen. I don't think Scott Drew is going to take the job.
I agree with that.
I don't think, like, I agree with Crawford that I think Eric Musselman's not going to get the job. I don't want to say too, like, I think the last time that we did a coaching search that we hired Glenn Sugiyama and that whole firm, I think they came back with a bad report on a couple of guys, including the guy that we hired. And one of them was Eric Musselman, not because he's a bad coach or because he's a bad philosopher. Like he parties. And I think that I think he's a risk for us to hire. And I think that Josh Hurd knows that. And Hurd has made it pretty clear a number of times that he doesn't want to hire anybody with checkered past. He doesn't want to run the risk of any more negative off the court headlines. You can agree or disagree with that philosophy all you want, but that's where he's coming from. So that's why I think it would make sense that Musselman would kind of be out too. Chris Beard, Air Crawford said bluntly this week, and I think that it's kind of what most people have heard, is not a candidate. He's not going to be pursued. I would assume, I have not heard this, but I would assume that Will Wade is probably off the table. So if the Mick thing is the buyout's too much and he's off the table, then you're starting, like, we're really dipping deep into the pool of candidates that we've talked about for the last 3 months. Like Nate Oates, he has a $10 million buyout. Jeff Goodman in his report said five-figure buyout, or what was it, seven-figure buyout, eight-figure buyout, I'm getting the math wrong, is going to be too much for Louisville to pay. I don't know if that's true. I don't think it's true, but let's just say it is. I think that Josh Hurd is going to play a little bit of a waiting game here. And I think that when all's said and done, we're going to wind up hiring a coach that gets hot this March. The two names that were explicitly brought to me, this is before Jeff Goodman, I think, mentioned both of those in his Field of 60, but the two names that people told me, hey, Josh has a list and these guys are on the list, but he knows they're not sellable to the fan base unless they do some damage in March, in which case he likes both these guys. He thinks that they're rising stars. Josh Hurd at Indiana State, who his team now is, they won the Missouri Valley title. They're playing in the semifinals tomorrow. They're probably, I think they'll have an at-large bid at the NCAA tournament, even if they lose in the finals, but they're going to get a shot to do some damage. And then Pat Kelsey at Charleston, who they won their tournament last year. They were like 30-3 going into the NCAA tournament, and they played a really competitive game and lost to San Diego State in the first round, who ended up going all the way to the national championship game. Now, this year's Charleston team is not as good as last year's team. They won the SoCon by a couple of games, but they've got to win their conference tournament to have a shot to make the NCAA tournament. So those two guys, I think, circle those names. They're not going to be exciting for you. I get it, but I think at least somewhat in play here. But I think that we've been talking about the same guys for so long, throwing the Jerome Tangs, whoever else we've been talking, Dusty May, all these people that we've been talking about. I wouldn't be shocked at all if it's somebody that we have not spent a whole lot of time on, who just gets really hot in the NCAA tournament and becomes more of a sellable option to the fan base, who winds up getting this job. I mean, I'm literally just throwing out names here, like a Todd Golden at Florida, who, by the way, looks like he's 24 years old, which drives me crazy. But he was awesome at San Francisco, got the Florida job, had a lot of doubters. They've been a massive overachiever this year. That's a team that can make a run to like the Elite Eight, maybe get to a fluky Final Four, and set himself up to potentially be like a ooh, like this guy's he's fun. We can see what happens there. I mean, Kyle Neptune at Villanova, I know he and Josh have a relationship. He would have to get really hot. They've had a bad couple of years. But somebody kind of like that, who just gets hot in March, turns himself into a name. This is gut feeling. This is not based off of any like substantive inside info. It's just me piecing together all the little stuff that I've heard and then going with my gut. I think we're going to wind up hiring a coach that just gets hot in March that maybe the fan base has to take a little bit of a wait and see approach on. How do you feel about that?
I mean, that's a lot to process for sure. My initial reaction is, just with what we've gone through the past 2 years, I think everyone, not everyone, but people want a name.
They
And
do.
if we don't get a name, I think whoever it is going to have to do some quick convincing and win quickly. Now, with that being said, find out about Josh Hurd. Like Kenny Payne, I mean a total pressure hire. Like I still like in my heart I'm like, hey, I know he hired him, but too many outside factors had a play in there. Jeff Brohm, obviously that's a no-brainer. So now we get to Josh Hurd. If you want to hire an up-and-comer, have some stones and pick your guy. Like I want him to, whoever he chooses, choose with conviction. And if he's wrong, then we know about him. But I think this is the hire for Josh Hurd. So we're gonna find out one way or the other. Like when you go over the other candidates, I mean, besides Scott Drew and probably Nate Oates, I think there's going to be disagreement on everyone. Like, I'm not big on musclemen at all. I am, I think Mick Cronin would do a good job. I know I'm in the minority on that. I still don't understand why, like you said, half the fan base like ignores his resume. Yeah, he's struggling the tournament. If you go back and watch some of his tournament losses, like they're absolute heartbreakers.
They also had three guys get hurt last year, including the National Defensive Player of the Year. It was.
Exactly. Like, and like shit happens in March. Like, I get it. Like, you do have to win, you do have to advance, but 2 years he's eliminated on Jalen Suggs' half court shot and then a Steph Curry three from Gonzaga that would have put him in the Elite Eight. So, I don't know, but I mean, with the names you brought up, I'm just gonna need some convincing. I'm gonna need to see someone come in and quickly establish a culture. But just being honest, I don't know enough about those guys that you mentioned to really have an opinion.
Here's what I can guarantee about the search after doing this for the last week and seeing Louisville fans are going to freak the fuck out so quickly. I mean, we
Yeah.
have like there were people on the text line this week who like on Wednesday or Thursday when news started kind of going around, they're like, "Why have we not heard anything about Drew? Like I'm freaking out. We're going to fuck this up, aren't we?" I was like, the job's not even open yet, guys. We have at least two games to go here. The conference tournaments haven't even started at the power conference level. Like Louisville fans are going, everybody's on edge, and I get it. Like this has been the most difficult stretch to be a Louisville basketball fan ever, ever. I don't care how old you are listening to this podcast. The last 5 years, if you want to extend it to the last 7 years, it's never been more difficult to be a Louisville basketball fan. And we're all desperate to believe that finally we're going to turn the page. The black cloud's going to be gone. We've made the proclamation 9 or 10,000 times at this point that now we're back. This feels like Louisville back, and it's never really been back. And so this has to be the time that it happens. This hire, the next chapter, it has to get back to being fun. And so people are terrified that this awful feeling we talked about at the beginning of the show, like March just not feeling the way that it's supposed to. For really, since like before the pandemic, or I guess since the pandemic, we're terrified that it's going to last for a few more years, or that it's going to last forever. And we're never really going to get out of this hole, and we're going to be Indiana or Maryland or whoever you want to compare us to that we don't want to be. And so I get it why people are on edge. Josh Hurd is just going to have to be okay with this. I think that
Yep.
because like you said, I think there are probably three guys out there that would draw almost universal praise from the fan base. And Scott Drew is number one. I think if you landed Billy Donovan, there are some concerns there about it. It's been almost a decade since he coached in college basketball. How does he handle NIL? How does he handle the portal? I think for the most part, people would still be ecstatic about Billy. I would be ecstatic about Billy Donovan. Would
We'd
you?
be a, I mean, the national brand name would come back quickly with Billy
For sure.
Donovan.
Absolutely. Like I would be very, very excited. And then Nate Oates, I think that most people would give they'd give a standing ovation for Nate Oates. I think they'd be excited for Nate Oates. Besides that, you're going to have at least a pocket of the fan base that's pretty upset with whoever you've picked, or who at least needs to be talked into it, who needs time. So Josh is just going to have to be okay with he's going to take a bunch of heat over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Like they're going to be, there've already been people calling for his job for the last several months. There are going to be more people calling for his job. There are going to be more people saying, who is this guy? What has he actually done? We don't know how to handle this as a fan base because we've never, like, this is the first real coaching search that Louisville basketball has had. I mean, I wasn't around for the Denny Crum hire, but I'm going to assume since then. Like, Pitino, we knew he was the top candidate. We got him pretty quick. Chris Mack, we knew he was the top candidate. It happened super quick.
Yep.
Kenny Payne, I think we all kind of knew he was the top candidate. It happened pretty quick. This time, nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows exactly. Like, there's no favorite. There's no betting. We know who the top candidate is, but if you were making lines in Vegas to see who the next Louisville head coach was going to be, I've got no idea who you make the favorite. So we're all like scared.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Like the last two coaches we've hired, those have been the favorites from the get-go, and we're 0 for 2. Chris Mack, like, sure thing. And that wasn't just the fans. That was like I mean, we saw it with our own eyes. That was a media thing. You
Sure.
know, wipe them, didn't work out. Universally loved, coming back, save the program. I don't want to say everyone was in favor of Kenny, but a lot of people, majority of people, I'd say Kenny Payne was the number one choice.
Well, we know two
Well,
people who were not in favor of Kenny.
yeah. 0 for 2. And now the fans are like, well, we're picking the next one. Like, let's just let Josh do his fucking job. Like, let him bet whoever it's gonna be. He knows the money situation. Like, let him do his fucking job and get who he thinks is best for the program.
I think that's all we have to do. And I get why this is a tough message for the fan base to digest, because for the last couple of years, when we've had concerns about Kenny Payne and we've raised red flags and all this stuff, the message from people who thought Kenny Payne was going to get it done has been like, just trust in KP, right? Like, trust in KP. He's moving in silence. And now we're very much in a trust in Josh Hurd situation where it's like, this is why he gets paid the big bucks. This is his hire. Forget about the pressure. We don't have to listen to the former players anymore. We don't have to listen to the big money people anymore. Like, trust your instincts here. And I think this is going to have to be a trust your instincts situation where he understands that he's probably not going to be universally praised for who he hires unless it's one of those three guys that we just mentioned. And so, like, he's going to have to deal with that. There are going to be fans that are upset, and he's just going to have to say, talk to me in 3 years. Like,
Right.
wait and see. And I get that the wait and see, like, we want a guy that we know from day one is going to win basketball games at a high level. And there's a certainly a very realistic possibility that we're taking a guess again. Now, whoever we hire is not going to be nearly the guess that Kenny Payne was. Kenny Payne was the guess of all guesses. He's never been a head coach before. We don't know if he can do the daily ins and outs of being the chair number one guy. It was a massive guess. You're going to have more of a background with whoever you hire, unless we go out and hire another lifelong assistant, which I don't think is going to happen. But it's still probably going to be a guess with whoever we go with. And even if we're like Billy Donovan would still be something of a guess. Nate Oates has not gone to a regional final. His teams, especially this year, have not played good enough defense to win at the level that we're hoping for consistently. He's a little bit of a guess. So besides Scott Drew, I think that you're like it's going to be somebody that the fan base has some issues with. Having said that, I think that we're so desperate to believe that this is going to work moving forward that we're all going to talk ourselves into the guy, whoever he winds up being, because he's going to come here. He's going to say great things about the program. He's going to tell us exactly how he plans to build us back up. He's going to hopefully land some players quickly in the transfer portal or bring over some players that he already had signed or bring back some of the great players, the good players on the roster right now. There's like two guys that I'm thinking of right now that I would like to keep for next year. Like, stuff like that will happen, and I think that we'll get excited about that. But we're still going to be in wait and see mode for sure until we get to November and there's actual win loss stuff to talk about. But like that's my opinion. That's the way that I think it plays out. I think it's going to be a stressful few weeks. The only way that it's not kind of a wait and see game is like if you want to do this thing quick and easy and you want the fan base to not be nipping at your heels and hire Mick Cronin if that's possible, because he's not going to be in the NCAA tournament barring a miracle run in the Pac-12 tournament. So you could very easily do the thing where it's we lose on Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever. Kenny Payne gets fired on Thursday or Friday. UCLA will lose in the Pac-12 tournament probably what Thursday. You could hire Mick Cronin by the beginning of next week if you wanted to, if you could get that worked out. If it's not Mick Cronin, then we're probably sitting around waiting and we're doing more rumor radio and rumor podcast and rumor message board stuff for the next few weeks. And that's fine. Like, whatever. Like, let's just get our guy, whoever he winds up being, whatever your gut is. Like, we just kind of have to trust that we've got the right AD and that he's going to wind up hiring the right coach. And I know that's difficult, but that's sort of the position that we're being put in.
Let me ask you this. What's important to you in a hire? Obviously winning. I mean, that goes without saying. But like, is it, and I'm just throwing out different things, is it offensive minded? Is it defensive minded? Is it culture? Is it toughness? Is it good with the media? And I'm sure like you want well-rounded and all of the above, but is there like one thing that like You're like, man, like I want a coach that like harps on this.
This is going to sound like I'm advocating for Mick Cronin. Let me preface this by saying that Mick Cronin's not my first pick here. I don't think he's probably not my second or third pick. But here's why I think he's more of an attractive candidate than a lot of people do. My answer to your question is I want somebody who has a high floor, who, like, their worst is still going to be light years better than what we've seen for the last 3 years. Mick Cronin for I think there are legitimate reasons to not want him here. The prickliness, he's been to one regional final, one Final Four, and it was as an 11 seed. Like you can nitpick stuff for sure. He was consistent as hell at Cincinnati. Just did not get it done in the tournament. He's been up until this year very consistent at UCLA. I think your floor with Mick Cronin is pretty high. And I think step one for us, I mean, in a dream world, we're back competing for a Final Four next year. We're a top four seed in the NCAA tournament. We win an ACC title, all that good stuff. It's probably not realistic. Step one for us to get back to that point is just getting back to being like a normal basketball program where we expect to win at least 15, 16 games next year. And with the right additions in the transfer portal and the right coach, I think you can reasonably expect to win 20 plus games next year. Like we just need to get our heads above water. And so I think if you brought in Mick Cronin and next year we flirt with the NCAA tournament in year one. Year two, we're in the NCAA tournament and we're back to feeling like a normal big time basketball program. We're not exactly where we want to be, but it feels like the early Patino years a little bit. And let's say then he coaches here for 5, 6, 7 years, and we're getting upset that he's not made it past the Sweet 16, or we've only been to one Sweet 16 and stuff like that. Okay, then you can start getting a little bit greedy. Then we can start saying, you did well here, you're good, but we're Louisville. We want a coach that can win a national title, and we don't feel like that's you. But we got to get to that point first. We're sitting here, we're nitpicking guys that have only been to one Final Four or only won one national title. Like,
You
we
hit the
want.
nail on the head. Like, we are not hiring Bill Self. Like, we're not going to take this from, and I get it. Like, our fans have high expectations. Like, we should not settle. Like, I totally understand that. But like at the same time, like we have to be realistic as well. Like there isn't a Bill Self out there that's just gonna like come and turn this thing around and we'll be in the Final Four next year in 2 years. And I think you laid out like a good groundwork plan. And I think that, and I'm higher on Mick than you are. And it's only because I know for a fact everywhere that he's been, he's brought a toughness and a culture there. Like, dude, when UCLA hired him, he was like the 19th choice, and people were fucking pissed. Like, and that had to be hard for him. He goes in with a chip on his shoulder. And I mean, besides this year, if you were to Twitter search Mick Cronin like the last 3 years besides this year, holy fuck, they were over the moon with him out in Westwood. Like, they could not have been more happy that he was their coach. The toughness, the defensive culture he brought. Yeah, this year's been bad. And I get it. His demeanor, like you said, his prickliness, like definitely rubs people the wrong way. But he really, and like this sounds kind of weird. He like totally wants to be Patino in every single way. And Rick did that same shit. And like, I love Rick, but when things didn't go Rick's way, he used to bitch and complain, and he would say stuff about facilities or whatever till he got his way. And that's kind of, you see that with Mick. Oh, NIL, it's not good enough out here. We're not getting this guy. It's like everything this guy does, it seems like he's trying to be like Rick. And I think a big portion of that, there's a big portion of our fan base, I think that's a huge turnoff for them. And I understand that. But
Can
like
I
you
tell you
said, he's
what I think the
consistent.
difference is? Can I tell you what I think the difference is, though? Like, I think you're right. Like, the prickliness, the complaining, the pointed criticism of players, like, he's doing everything for effect. Rick would at least bring some charm into it.
That's true.
He would have the I'm ripping into everybody press conference. And then the next time he talked, he'd make like a lighthearted joke about it, like a casual reference. And even some of the press conference where he was pissed off, he'd make like a sly little smile and kind of like, hey, like, you know, he'd soften the blow a little bit. Mick is in like full asshole mode 24/7. Like he never lightens up. There's never any joking. There's never any like lighthearted ribbing with the media. There's never any charm there. And I think that rubs people the wrong way.
No, you're right. There's no charm, but I will say like, he's given some press conferences where like he's given some really whatever, we're really nitpicking now, but like he's given like some super insightful answers to like some questions that like I find interesting. Like I'm like, all right, like Mick knows his shit. He knows what's going on.
For sure.
But like at the same time, if you are a Mick hater, I totally understand why. Like I'm not like anti, like why the hell do you hate Mick Cronin? I just think, if you looked at it from a strictly basketball only, you know, I think that he's better than our fan base is giving him credit for. That's my final thing I'll say on him.
The one thing, and this is the final thing that I'll say, the one thing that you know he's going to do here is coach defense, because he's fielded great defensive teams everywhere that he's gone. And you look at his rank in adjusted defensive efficiency since 2011. I'm just going to reel it off real quick. 13th, 22nd, 15th, 9th, 17th, 16th, 15th, 2nd, 28th, and then 112th his first year at UCLA, then 46th, 16th, 2nd, and they're 53rd this year with a pretty bad roster. His teams defend the hell out of you.
Yep.
And if there's the most frustrating thing out of all the frustrating things over the last 3 years, I'll bring it back and include the last Mac Piggy season, is how poorly we've been on defense. I mean, we're used to, you know, Pitino's teams, I think, ranked in the top 10 in adjusted defensive efficiency in 7 out of 9 years when we were kind of in that peak, and ranked in the top 5 times during that span. So, like, we're used to being one of the best defensive teams in all of college basketball. And we've been in the 200s. Last year, we were in the 300s in that category.
Oh, my God.
We were 310th, Danny, in adjusted defensive efficiency last year. I think this year we're like 200, and I mean, it's bad. We are 223rd in adjusted defensive efficiency right now. We were 312 last year, and in Max last season we were 114. So like, that's got to get fixed. Like, defensive minded coach, I would love to have come in here. I would take all hell. I'd take anything at this fucking point. But I'd prefer defense because the defense has been so bad. I can't watch this bullshit. Like, not employing basic defensive principles that you learn when you play in like fourth grade basketball.
Yep.
I can't take another year of that. I just, the whole thing, like, that's got to get fixed very, very quickly. And hopefully whoever we hire winds up being, I mean, it will be, it'll be somebody who knows the basics of doing that, because we have a guy right now who doesn't.
Can we learn to close, whoever it is, let's just learn to close out. Let's start with that. Learn to close out.
Open your fucking hips when you're guarding in guarding position. High hands on the perimeter closeout. Jesus Christ.
Hedge on the fucking pick and roll, for the love of God.
Or at least do the same thing twice on the high ball screen. Like, we have no idea what we're doing. We can move on to the Joseph Sanon, Carter Knox stuff, because this was I'm calling it QAnon because there's conspiracy theories abound. It's insane. You know, both times that it's felt like we've been on the verge of firing Kenny Payne, it's the only time in the last calendar year that he's actually like gone out there and recruited, that we've had recruiting news. You know, we're going to fire him in December, and then boom, Carter Knox is visiting and watching us play in front of 5,000 fans at the KFC Yum Center. And then we get the news out of nowhere when all this buzz is flying around on Tuesday and Wednesday that Joseph Sanon is going to visit campus. There's a report on Thursday that he's already visiting campus by Trilly Donovan. He himself says that that's not true by posting a picture of the Puma headquarters. And then he's on campus that night, posting a picture of himself with Kenny Payne in what looks like it's a very much a hostage situation, where I'm like, you know, just blink three times if you're okay, buddy. Like, let us know that this is something that you agreed to. And then he goes straight from Louisville to Kentucky to watch UK play Vanderbilt, sits behind the bench, takes a bunch of pictures there. We were a glorified fucking Uber for this kid. He flew into our airport. We were a layover destination for him. He took some pictures with Kenny Payne, and then we shuttled him to Lexington to watch, you know, UK beat Vandy. It's just batshit crazy what's going on right now. If you wanted to believe that Kenny Payne is a Kentucky plant, which has been, you know, the long running joke, the evidence has never been stronger at this point. Like, it's one of those situations where if 40 years from now, like some highly classified UofL documents leak, and it comes out that yes, like Kenny Payne had been radicalized at some point in the 2000s in Lexington, and been turned, his allegiance had been turned, and he was a plant by Kentucky to just totally torpedo the UofL basketball program. The people that would read that report would be looking back at us and saying, how did those dumb motherfuckers not figure this out? Like, there's a billion, how do they think that this was a adult man trying his hardest to win at a program like Louisville and going 12-72 or whatever the fuck we are right now? Like, people would, like, I'd be surprised still, obviously, but I wouldn't be shocked at this point. Like, it's the things that are happening here are just, these are not normal things that happen at big time basketball programs, Dan.
I hope in like the next couple years, like when we get things back on track, maybe old Josh can do like some digging and accidentally maybe slip up to like an NCAA investigator and be like, well, actually, back in 2022, we were paying so-and-so or whatever, and get these 2 years just vacated immediately. It's like, I'm sorry, we have to vacate the 2022-2023 years. They're going off Louisville's record. They no longer existed. Like, that would be amazing. But with that being said, my God, it is I mean, it's a circus. Like, it is a full – like, we've had – our fair share of circus moments the last, hell, eight years especially, but like it feels like the last four, like we legitimately are in the circus, and this is like, I mean, it's peak. The elephants are dancing, it is wild right now. I if half the team showed up for the game tomorrow, I like wouldn't even blink an eye. You'd be like, it's like Louisville's got five players on the bench, like. It's like Mighty Ducks when only Charlie and Fulton came out to skate. It's like it's like literally, it's like only the seniors come out. It's like we forfeit.
If we started Caron Davis, I'd be like, yeah, you know, we're gonna do that sometimes, I guess. Like, yeah, there he is. Let's go.
Nothing, like you said, nothing can. I mean, like Zan's probably looking to get up 8 threes tomorrow minimum. Maybe
I hope
not.
He does. I hope
yeah,
he does.
Yeah, no, I would too. I'd be like, fuck it, I'm pulling from Curry range here.
I want Zan to hit a three and just like flick off the crowd as he's running back down the floor. Why not? Just go crazy, buddy. You're out of here.
You know what's weird though, and I found myself like this because like I'm not gonna lie. Like, I mean, I've watched less and less of the team. Like, I haven't watched, every single full game, and I just try to watch as much as I can, but sometimes if I got to put the kids down, I'm like, whatever, I don't really care. I feel like I've been so dumbed down by Louisville basketball the last 3 years. I don't even know like what's good anymore. Like, I'm like thinking about, all right, is there anyone on this roster like I would keep next year? I'm like, I mean, I think Brandon Huntley Hatfield's good, but like, am I being a dumbass? Like even Tyler, I'm like, I thought he was good, but my God, he's fucking loose with the ball and he makes some bad decisions. Like, I haven't watched good basketball in so long. It's like,
I could not agree more.
It's like totally fucked up my mind. I don't even know what's good anymore.
I could not agree more. Like, I gave a very similar spiel on the radio show like a week ago to where, I mean, like, think about the things that we argue about as a fan base now. We went almost three full years when Pitino was here. I think it was 2012 through 2014 without losing a game by double digits. And we lose to Virginia Tech by 23, a bad Virginia Tech team that's not going to sniff the NCAA tournament on our home floor in March. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. Like, I'm sitting there watching it. I'm like, it's been worse. You know, it's not terrible. Like, I worry that I've lost the ability to recognize what Louisville basketball is supposed to be like. Like, when I watch these, are you ready for the comparison of all comparisons that's going to make everybody cringe? Are you ready for this? I'm going to do it. I don't give a fuck. It came to my mind. I'm going to say it. When you have a death of somebody close to you.
Oh, boy.
As time goes on, you start, like, it really concerns you. It gets to you when you're like, I've kind of forgot what they smell like. Or I kind of forgot these little things that I remember back in the day. Like, I kind of forgot what their smile looks like. All this stuff. As time goes on, and you have to be kind of reminded of it. But when you look at pictures or you watch videos, it's not the same as actually having that person in front of you and remembering those things. That's kind of the way that I feel about Louisville basketball now. I know that that's a totally over-the-top comparison, but I really and truly believe that when we get back to being good, and hopefully it's 12 months from now, hopefully we're doing a podcast right now being like, remember March 8th last year when we were having this, oh my God, podcast, like how terrible that was. Whenever we get back to this time of the year where you're seeing the first signs of spring, the trees are budding a little bit, bracketology is in full swing, college basketball is at the center of the sports universe, and we're in the thick of that, and we're playing games that matter, and we're talking about the ACC tournament and where we're going to be seated and all that stuff, I think it's all going to hit us that, like, oh my God, I'd forgotten the way that this feels. I'd forgotten that this is, like how fun this is and just how much this meant to me and how much it always has meant to me up until these past 4 or 5 years. And I put myself in that category as well, because right now it's hard to replicate those feelings without actually experiencing them. You can go back and you can watch highlight videos from the 2013 seasons and the 2014 seasons and the 2015 seasons and stuff. But it's been so long since we've been there. Like, I'm like you. Like, I've forgotten what it feels like to see Louisville and watch meaningful Cardinal basketball that looks the way that it's supposed to. And I'm worried that I'm going to be so shell-shocked when it finally happens. Like, if we come out next year and we beat, like, Elon by 17 in the first game, I'm going to be like, holy fucking shit. Like, this guy's going to win 17 national titles here. Like, I'm going to be so over the top about it. If we just look like a normal high-level college basketball team is supposed to, I'm not going to know how to react to it.
You know, it's funny. So, like, my son Cam, he's 9. Like, we don't watch NBA in our house. And, like, I mean, as a college basketball fan, I've tried to get him on Louisville as much as I can. It's tough. Like, and he knows that they suck. But we still watch the games, you know, as much as we can. But, like, I'll pop in every once in a while, like, games from, like, the 2013, like, tournament run. And he legitimately is asking, he's like, why are we guarding them all the way up the court, like, instead of, like, getting back? I'm like, well, Cam, that's called a press, okay? I'm like, we used to do that, and it was absolute fucking amazing. I'm like, I know what you're watching is bad, but this is how you do it right here. So, yeah, I mean, God. It's just, I know. The fact that he asked it, I was like, oh, my God. It's so times sad. Have changed. Yep.
Hopefully we're back by the time John Rutherford gets to that age where he's like developing those formative sports memories, because
I hope so.
Cam's been through it. Like, we need to get really good. Like, he's at that age where, like, the first teams that you fall in love with, the first players that you fall in love with, I feel like it's always like when you're like 9, 10, 11, 12, like we need to get it going for Cam.
Yeah. He put like a Columbus Crew flag in his room. I was like, take that down.
last thing on Joseph Sanon. So there have been a couple of rumors. I can't confirm either of these things. I've heard them the same as you all have. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know how realistic, but there's a rumor that basically that we paid him to take that visit, and there's also a rumor that we were going to pay him like $1 million if he signs with us. I don't know what's going on there. It's very clear, though, that Kenny Payne is going down fighting, that he's not going to leave gracefully the way that he's handled this. I genuinely think that Kenny Payne doesn't think that he's done a bad job here, which is astounding. But there's never any sort of self-awareness in these press conferences. There's never any, like, self-realization moment, any inward reflection where he comes out and says, like, every game that we lose, every 25-point loss to every middling ACC team that happens, every time I expect him in the post-game press conference to come out there and not just say, like, I get it, I suck, but give some sort of admission that, like, hey, this isn't working, I'm sorry, some accountability. And it just never happens. You know what it reminds me of, Dan, is, and you and I both we've watched our fair share of like trashy reality shows over the years. Like I've watched Vanderpump Rules. You've watched Vanderpump Rules. If you watch like the Housewives show, I've never watched those, but I think it's the same thing. You watch these shows and you see these people just doing the worst shit imaginable, right? You watch this the whole time and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that that's a real person making these decisions on TV in front of an audience. Like, holy shit, they make me feel better about myself. And then you think as the season goes on, like they're watching this from home. They're seeing the same things that we are. There's going to be some sort of self-realization of, oh my God, I'm a monster. And they're going to change because of that. And then you know what happens, Dan? You get to the reunion episode of those shows and they come back and they've seen all the heinous, dumb shit they've done over the past 3 months. And you're like, here we go. Here comes the apology. And they fucking double down every time. It never happens. The realization never happens. They never come out and they're like, yeah, I was really embarrassed by the way that I looked. I've done some self-searching. I'm going to change. I'm going to be better. It's always like, well, fuck you. You cheated on your wife too. Who are you to lecture me? It's unbelievable. Every single time. That's the way that I feel every time Kenny Payne talks after a game. It's like, how are you not getting that we're not supposed to lose to Virginia Tech by 23? We're not supposed to we clinched dead last in the ACC in back-to-back years with a week and a half to go in the regular season. That's not supposed to happen here. And he still in his mind is like, I don't know, like, it's not me.
Let me ask you, I'm doing okay.
This
is a tough question to ask. And maybe it's easier to answer than I think it is. Let's say we have a 1986 reunion in five, six years. Is Kenny ever going to step foot in this university or building again?
I'm going to take a deep breath here and I'm going to talk. I'm going to say something. So I feel like we always have to preface our comments about Kenny Payne with he's a good guy, right? Like the classic Tyson Tate, good guy of the week. Like you always say that about coaches that just fucking suck. You always he's a good guy. You want to soften the blow. First of all, the more that time goes on, the more that I'm sure that I'm not sure he's a good guy. The way that he's handling stuff, I'm not sure that Kenny Payne's a good guy. The way that
I kind of agree.
Like he's apparently was not willing to bargain towards like a lower buyout. He doesn't seem to take any sort of accountability with torpedoing this fucking program to a depth that was previously unfathomable. He doesn't go out of his...
He had to be talked into the job. Like,
which
he
will constantly let you know about.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. I get that he was a player here that helped us win a national title. I get that people who know him personally talk very highly about his character. When he's gone in a few days, I don't want to see Kenny Payne for a long time. I don't want to hear Kenny Payne's name for a long time. I don't want to hear Kenny Payne talk. I want to forget that Kenny Payne ever existed. I want to repress these past 2 years with every part of my brain that can possibly make that happen. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to write about this. I want to pretend like this never happened. Enjoy coaching the team this weekend. Enjoy walking through that tunnel at the KFC Yum Center one last time, wearing your stupid-ass Star Trek outfit, coming out there, playing in front of 5,000 fans. Enjoy going with the team. Because it's over. It's done. And when it's done, I want to move on entirely. I'm going to do the sports thing where, like, you know, sports radio show host, we can't do anything besides compare things to relationships because our brains aren't smart enough. I'm going to do that thing right now. It's like if you've had a bad breakup and you need to just block them entirely from your life, like take them out of your phone, get rid of them on social media. You just don't want to see them anymore. You don't want any sort of reference reminder about what you just went through. That's where I am with Kenny Payne right now. If the next guy we hire gets us back on track and we're winning again at a high level in like 6-7 years and he wants to come back then, that's fine. But for a few years at least,
yeah,
I need to be rid of Kenny Payne for a while.
You 100%, that's exactly how I was going to answer. I was going to say, we have to right the ship and not just right it. Like we have to be on a smooth sailing path for a while before it's like, okay, like enough time has passed here. 'Cause I mean, Jesus Christ, this guy just torpedoed the fucking program into the ground. I mean, like, I've never seen anything like it, and it happened so quickly, it was almost impressive.
And here's the thing too, like I feel bad anytime somebody loses their job, and certainly I genuinely mean that. But Kenny Payne's going to be fine. Kenny Payne was very rich before he got here. He's going to get paid handsomely to go away forever. And it's not like he's not hireable. Like nobody's going to hire him as a head coach. I saw some people like, what if Kenny Payne gets hired and kills him? Like you couldn't hire him at Fairdale High School right now. Like no mid-major, low major, no D2 program is going to hire him as a head coach when he failed worse than anybody's ever failed at Louisville. But he's a pretty good second chair. Like a power conference absolute program is absolutely going to go after Kenny Payne, whether it's going back to UK or going somewhere else, and they'll pay him well there, or he can go back to the NBA. Like generations of Payne family members are going to be taken care of. So he's like, it's an embarrassment for him, sure, but he's going to be fine in the long run. And for us, like, we don't get paid for this. We're not going to get, all we have is 2 years of our lives taken away where we were just miserable from a sports fandom perspective. Like that's all we get. So it sucks for us. I think worse than it sucks for Kenny Payne. Somebody asked me earlier this week, like, do you think Kenny Payne's embarrassed? And I don't even know. Like I honestly don't even know. Like I would be, I don't know how you can't be, but like I said, there never seems to be any sort of self-reflection. I have no idea what he's thinking at this point. I also want to say if there's anything good that's come out of these 2 years, you know, we talked about, you made reference to Josh Hurd kind of feeling the pressure and feeling the heat when he was the interim AD 2 years ago to hire Kenny Payne from some forces out there. Those forces have been at play for the last two decades plus, basically ever since Coach Crum got forced out. And he was forced out by Tom Jurich. You've had a group of former players and a group of people who helped make the program great in the 70s and the 80s. And I respect the hell out of all those people. You should respect every single person who ever wears the Louisville jersey, right? Like all this stuff we care deeply about. If you're listening this deep into the conversation, you clearly care deeply about the program. You love Louisville basketball. It's a beautiful distraction from things that actually matter, right? There can be trouble in our work life. There can be trouble at home. And for a couple of hours every Wednesday night or every Saturday afternoon, we get to forget about all that and lose ourselves in this wonderful distraction. And that wouldn't be possible without all the people that have come and played for the program. So I absolutely respect all of the players who've put on that U of L jersey and who've given us this thing that we all care so deeply about. But some of those players were so upset with the way that the Crum situation was handled that they felt like they deserved to pull all the strings, that they deserved to call all the shots, that they were the only ones who knew how to get Louisville basketball back to its heyday in the late 70s and the 80s. And at the time, they pushed for Jerry Eves to be the head coach over Rick Pitino, which I don't think would have gone well based on the way that Jerry coached at North Carolina A&T. And those players and some of those other administrators, those people, they were still upset when U of L was going to Final Fours and winning national titles under Rick Pitino. And they vocalized that concern behind closed doors, and secretly they were just kind of waiting for something to happen, waiting for a slip-up. And in 2018, they were furious that another one of their own, Kenny Payne, didn't get the job or didn't get a fair shake in their eyes. And in 2022, they were screaming, it's got to be Kenny Payne. It's got to be Kenny Payne. It's got to be somebody who knows how to get the program back to the culture, the MO, all that good stuff that made it so great. We did it your way. We tried it your way. It not only didn't work, it produced the two worst seasons in the 110-year history of this basketball program. We don't have to do things your way again. We don't have to listen to you anymore. We're going to do things the normal way. We're going to let Josh do his job. We're going to let everybody else do their job. And we're going to hire someone with a proven track record of success or somebody that we think can take what success they've had and amplify it with the resources that we have here at Louisville. So, if people, you know, if people like Purvis Ellison wants to stay away from the program, if, you know, Butch Beard said he wants his name disassociated from out of the record books, all that stuff, okay, that's fine. I don't understand that. It's fine. I would encourage, like, we're fans through thick and thin. We're going to be here. We've been upset with the way that things are going. We haven't stopped, you know, caring about the program. We're not checked out for good. I don't understand, like, I support the program, but only if they hire my guy. If it winds up being a coach that we don't approve of, you and I, we're still going to do the podcast. We're still going to talk about it. We're still going to hope that we're wrong. We hope that Kenny Payne was the guy. And I was very much against the hire. I don't understand the mentality. Like, if anybody had the right to be pissed off and to walk away from the program over the last 20-plus years, Danny Crum, Daryl Griffith, top of the list. Griff was the player who built Louisville basketball. Crum was the architect, the coach who made Louisville basketball what it was. And guess what they did? They showed up to every fucking home game. They yep. cheered. Danny, I'm sure, had some feelings of ill will towards Tom Jurich and Rick Pitino. When they asked him to, you know, hey, can you fist bump Rick at the end of this introduction video? Did it. No questions asked. When we won the national title in 2013, I mean, you know, we saw Daryl Griffith. He sat a couple rows behind us at the Wichita State game. He was ecstatic. He was going crazy. He was thrilled. Danny Crum, thrilled. If those guys can put that aside and embrace Louisville basketball in a different form, then my God, why can't all of you? And if you don't want to, we're done with that. It's over. That's the good thing. We tried it out their way. They can stop talking about this forever. So that's the one positive that I think has come out of these 2 years, is that we've quenched that thirst out there. We saw how it was going to go. We tried it. Didn't work. Never have to do it again. The only thing that we haven't talked about yet is this Carter Knox thing. So, I mean, first of all, there's a rumor out there. Again, I have no idea if this is true. This is not coming from anybody. I've heard the rumor that's on message boards. Apparently, it was relayed to me on the text line during the radio show. No idea if it's true. But there's a rumor out there that Kenny Payne's actually going to get fired on Sunday now. We've had rumors that he's going to get fired a million times. It hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's the rumor. I think the genesis of it is that Josh Hurd is a part of the women's selection committee. He has to go to Indianapolis this week to be a part of that. And so he wants to get Kenny Payne fired before he leaves. It's going to happen on Sunday. And I was kind of like, well, that's bullshit. There's no way that's true. But there's also been a rumor going around for several weeks that Carter Knox is going to commit to Louisville because we're giving him a gigantic NIL bag, and he's doing it as a favor to Kenny Payne, all this stuff. And Carter Knox was set to commit, I think, on Monday. And as this rumor is circulating, Carter Knox announces that he's making his commitment on Saturday now during the halftime of the overtime elite game. And there's a lot of buzz out there that when he commits, it's going to be to Louisville. And you have the Joseph Sanad kid quote tweeting him and saying, like, with a winky face, like, here we go, or something like that. Like, there's a very realistic scenario out there that Carter Knox is going to commit to Louisville tomorrow. We're going to fire Kenny Payne on Wednesday or Thursday. Knox will decommit almost immediately, and he'll commit to Kentucky. And the implication from some people will be like, well, congrats, you pushed him into the arms of your arch rival, when the reality is Carter Knox is never going to play for Louisville. The Sanad kid's never going to play for Louisville. There's no chance of it happening whatsoever. This is a shameless, shameless body shield deal. And it's just the last chapter of embarrassment. And honestly, it's hilarious if you're an objective fan. If I wasn't a Louisville fan, I would think all of this was just very, very funny. But it makes me so happy that we're almost done here. Like, these are the last days. I can't wait to be done with shit like this. But get ready for that. That's going to be – we have a few more days of ridiculousness coming our way, Dan, I think.
I've seen a couple fans on Twitter that are still putting stock, like, in these recruits. And I'm like, guys, I got a bridge to sell you. I don't know what else to tell you here. I'm totally with you. Like, my God, we're almost to the finish line here. It's been a ride, but I think you summed it up perfectly. It's time to get off and let someone else take the reins here.
Just bow out gracefully, man. Like you can't stop what's coming. It's over. All I can think of is the Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where he's like, it's like The Sopranos, man. It's over. Find a new show. Like, that's how I feel every single time.
I will,
like,
say, Kenny, for as, like, you know, as much as it's been awful, maybe the most stubborn man I've ever seen in my life. Like, refuses to change anything, like, no matter what. Like, I'm like, shit could be going 1,000 different ways, and Kenny's gonna do it his way. So I
I don't
think
even know what
that's,
his way is, though. Like, what is his way?
I guess, like keeping his awful staff for 2 years and not changing whatever he thought his basketball philosophies were.
Did you hear him after the
So.
Virginia Tech game where he was like, they asked him about playing Danilo Yovanovich and Zan Payne, and he's like, sometimes you got to use the bench as a motivator. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I was like, we've been saying this for 2 fucking years, and you're going to say this with 2 games left to go in your last season? This is when you're going to realize that? Like, oh my God. It's like him saying with the transfer portal thing where he was like, I'm going to have to use the portal. You can't win the old way. I'm like, motherfucker, we've been telling you this for 2 years, and you've been saying you don't want to build a program that way. What, like,
I'm
there's,
gonna need to
oh
be
my
like
God.
I'm gonna need to be like the Tommy Lee Jones, Will Smith, like blackout little device. Like as soon as
Yes.
this shit ends, like hit me with that, hit the entire fan base with that as hard as you can, and let's just turn the page and move on.
If you could do the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind thing, like I would pay for it. I would absolutely pay to have these 2 years removed, these 2 basketball years removed from my brain forever, because I really think it's broken me. Somebody said like today, they're like, what if we found out we lose on Tuesday, and then Josh Hurd puts out a statement saying, like, I'm backing Kenny Payne for a year three. And I was like, I'd quit. Like I can't do this for a third year. I've run out of all my self-deprecating jokes. I've run out of all my angry, not rants, stern monologues. Like I can't do this for a third year. I can't even think about it. Like the thought of like hearing that and saying that, yeah, 12 and 58 over 2 years at Louisville is good enough for to warrant a third year. We got to see how this thing plays out. It would break me. It would just absolutely break me.
You'll move to Columbus. Okay, deal. Fine.
No, I'm not moving to
All
Columbus. I'm not gonna go that far.
right.
Before we wrap this thing up, reminding you about our friends over at Home Field Apparel. They've got brand new shooter jackets. They've got brand new gear for March. They've got a bunch of new schools and a bunch of new gear for some old schools. Check out all their deals over there at homefieldapparel.com. Use our promo code CHRONICLE15 when you check out. It'll save you 15% off your first purchase from Home Field Apparel. Follow them on their social media channels to keep up with all their latest releases and get yourself some gear. I mean, Cards may not be playing, but if you want to root for like a random team, buy some shirts, buy some hoodies, buy some joggers. They've got you covered there. Homefieldapparel.com. We've not made one mention actually of the actual basketball games that have been played over the last couple of weeks or the one that's going to be played tomorrow, because I think it's of not even secondary importance. It's probably farther down the list, but do you want to make a prediction about Louisville Boston College tomorrow, 5:30 on the CW to wrap up the regular season?
No.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say.
Want to make a prediction. Honestly, I mean, like, it's so sad how little, like, it's like, all right, like, we'll maybe lose by 11. I don't even care. Whatever. Like, just get me to next week for the love of God.
Can I say that I still kind of think that we're going to win the conference tournament first game?
Jesus. Well,
I mean,
yeah.
we might play Florida State, who just let us score 101 points against them a couple of weeks ago. I mean, can you? Like, I'm telling you, like, people are going to do the thing where on Monday night at midnight, people are going to have these tweets ready to go where they're like, "It's KP day. It's finally time. Like, here we go. The last day with Kenny Payne." And they're going to print out little posters and hang them in their house, and people are going to be celebrating. Like, KP Day is going to hashtag trend on Twitter, and everyone's going to be ready to go. And then we're going to fucking win, and he's going to delay this by 24 hours because he wants us. He can never get us give us what we want. Never. He'll never give Louisville fans what we want, and what we want is for this to finally be over, and he's going to prolong it for a day. I'm telling you right now, I can see it happening. I'm telling you.
Do it, Josh. Just make the move, buddy. Just do it Sunday.
If he does it Sunday, we have to have an emergency pod. So I don't like next week will be one of the more eventful weeks in recent history for Louisville basketball. I think things will move pretty quickly. We'll start to get some more buzz about guys that are out there. The Mick Cronin thing will be interesting to follow how that plays out, because he'll probably be done with his season as well not long after we are. So expect some more frequent pods.
By the way, I'm not next week, but the week after, it's like I'm in Disney World.
Oh, that's
So
right.
we could have some breaking news on the teacups.
You're on the teacups when you find out that we hired Pat Kelsey, just
Oh my God.
spinning around, staring at your phone.
Fucking throwing up like I'm on Sandlot. Fucking just, oh God.
Lamont Paris.
Lamont. Has South Carolina fallen off a cliff, or are they like
No, they're
walking away?
still winning it. Like
Are they?
I think Lamont Paris is a hell of a coach, but I'm telling you right now, like, circle that team. Like they are first or second round upset written all over them. I think they and Iowa State, who I like both the coaches, I like both the teams. They check a lot of boxes for very early upset, but we could do worse than Lamont Paris. Like another name that I would throw out there is like the potential hot March candidate, Amir Abdul-Rahim. If South Florida can get in, win a couple of games, I'm really impressed by him. Just saying, like we have plenty more time to talk about this. We rambled. I asked for questions on Twitter. We're not.